Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. Tourism continues to suffer enormously under the COVID-19 pandemic, and it is nothing less than an emergency for developing nations, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said on Monday. In a message to mark World Tourism Day, the UN chief said that in the first 5 months of this year, international tourists' arrivals decreased by a staggering 95% in some parts of the world. Forecasts suggest a loss of over $4 trillion to the global economy by the end of 2021, Mr. Guterres continued. With the additional threat of climate change to many small island states which rely on visitors, the UN chief insisted that it was time to rethink, transform and safely restart tourism. He said that with the right safeguards in place, the tourism sector can provide decent jobs, helping to build resilient, sustainable, gender-equal, inclusive economies and societies that work for everyone. This means targeted action and investment to shift towards green tourism with high-emitting sectors, including air and sea transport and hospitality, moving towards carbon neutrality. The Yemen conflict killed or maimed 2,600 children as hostilities intensified in 2019 and 2020. That's according to a new report of the UN Secretary General on Children and Armed Conflict in the country. Published on Monday, the report detailed how these youngsters were victims of the indiscriminate use of mortar and artillery shelling, ground fighting, anti-personnel landmines and other explosive remnants of war. In total, more than 3,500 children suffered one or more grave violations. Chief among these were the denial of humanitarian access, killing and maiming, and the recruitment and use of children. Issuing the findings, Special Representative of the Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflict, Virginia Gamba, said that the atrocities and immense suffering would likely leave a generation of Yemeni children scarred for life. The recruitment and use of 861 children was also verified, and 2 in 3 saw active combat, according to the report. Iran has failed to honour fully the terms of a deal to allow UN inspectors access to monitoring equipment in the country, the International Atomic Energy Agency said on Sunday. Iran's decision not to allow the IAEA to visit a centrifuge component manufacturing workshop is contrary to the agreed terms of an agreement made on the 12th of September, said Rafael Grossi, head of the UN agency. Following the agreement earlier this month, Western powers chose not to issue a resolution criticizing Iran for blocking the IAEA as memory cards, which were used for surveillance of centrifuges, could be replaced. Observers caution that any resolution risked jeopardizing the resumption of talks between Iran and the United States on reviving the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Iran's centrifuge manufacturing complex at Karaj near Tehran was the victim of apparent sabotage in June, in which one of 4 IAEA cameras were destroyed. Iran has not returned the camera's data, the IAEA said in a statement. Katie Dartford, UN News.
John Gray on the phone. It is This Can't Be Happening on Tuesday. Area code 646-716-8652. If you'd like to call in, again, that's 646-716-8652. We have John Gray on the phone. I think we've got Mike. Him on the phone now. Yes,
Mike.
John, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, man?
John. Good. Well, it's been four successive days of 90-degree weather, which is unseasonably warm, 15 to 20 degrees warmer than normally. Today we will finish up at about 96 degrees.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
Plunge. Yep. We will plunge tomorrow with three days of rain. And they anticipate by Saturday night a low of like 45 degrees.
Holy
shit.
So,
I mean, it's sort of, yeah.
Well, that's like 50-degree drop. That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
Well, we're having a little rain today, just a sprinkle, and it's very cool. It's just sort of light jacket weather, you know, but it's very pleasant, and you know, it feels like the beginning of fall, and so that's normal here.
Yeah.
But you know, going from, like you say, 96 to 45 in 2 or 3 days is like, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's sort of climate change wackiness, it seems to me. But
I think it is. But you know, I think that, well, you know, it's been, I don't recall a heat stretch of heat like this at this late in the fall. I mean, we just started in fall, you know. But
yeah,
but,
what was it, 6 days ago or something?
But still, you know, and I can remember some Halloweens as a kid when it wasn't snowing heavily, but it was snowing, you know, I remember a lot of cold Halloween. So there ought to be a big change between now and late October, I hope. The trees are confused. I think the trees are confused.
Right.
We're grass.
The trees do get confused.
I mean, the grass is totally green. I'm going to need to mow again. You know, we thought it was the last mow, but no, we'll be mowing by the end of next week, one more time at least. So, I don't know, man. Crazy. It's sort of crazy. But it's even crazier politically. Last Monday, or Monday, it might have been this Monday. It's called Heritage Freedom Festival. Oh. It had it over in nearby Lenexa, Kansas, which is just east of me about, less than 40 miles. And a mega church. It had a big mega church, and all these people, no mask, in this big church, and all the political dignitaries, state legislators, former candidates for the attorney general and governor, all Republicans, you know, all gathered there and to denounce mandates, masks, vaccine. I mean, I can't believe that they're denouncing even, you know, they're saying, well, it's against their freedom. You know, you have the freedom not to be vaccinated. It was a big deal. It made the local news media, and it's just sort of a very strange time. It's almost like people want to die.
Yeah.
This is held the same day as a newspaper reporter for the Kansas Reflector said, ironic that the day they had this, we surpassed the number of deaths from the Spanish flu.
I read that somewhere, right? I'm no longer, you know, as you say, I'm no longer shocked or surprised by this. I guess I'm, you know, been beaten on the head long enough by this craziness. And it seems to be an extension of, you know, what the Republicans, McConnell and whatnot, did with Obama, you know, from the get-go is, well, we are going to do everything in our power to make him a failure as a president so that we can then regain full power, you know, like they did under Trump. And so they're doing that play again. And they're, you know, in the red states, they're basically endangering their own people. And their own people seem to be, pardon the expression, stupid enough that they don't pay attention to it. You know, top story, one of the top stories in New York Times today, COVID politics are walloping red America. Concentration of cases in right-leaning areas. In other words, make Biden's presidency a failure, and one of the ways to make it a failure is to not, you know, cooperate with vaccines and masks so that this herd immunity is achieved. So that basically his presidency will be a failure in that particular area as well as the other areas they're trying to make it a failure in. And then they think that will, avail them the power, and then they can do whatever the hell they want, you know. And it's like, I can't imagine the American people are that stupid that in 2022 or 2024 they're going to, you know, with their power to vote, allow this to continue. But of course, you know, we can underestimate the intelligence of the American people. As P.T. Barnum said, you know, no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. You know, this was a, you know, I think it was P.T. Barnum, maybe it was somebody else, but, you know, it's like, this is, come on, you know, we're so pampered and spoiled because we're exceptional and we dominate the world, or we think we dominate the world, that we can afford to be stupid. You know, I just don't understand it. But who am I? Just some schmuck, you know? It's like, it's like, wow, this is amazing. Anyway, what do you think? I don't know. Crazy.
Oh, for a schmuck, you're getting some phone calls on the switchboard.
Okay.
Again, call us at 646-716-8652. And, yeah, if you want to talk about it, punch one, and we'll push one, so that'll give me a signal that let you know.
Yeah,
that,
I mean,
you
for instance, tell us why you don't want to take the vaccine. If you're old enough, did you take the Salk polio vaccine in the 50s and things like that? Do you take, you know, I had malaria, so I took, you know, I followed my doctor's instructions and got over malaria, but I don't know, you know, maybe that stuff, you know, I shouldn't have taken it. I should have got malaria and died or something. I don't know, you know, but, is everybody against the vaccine when I haven't heard maybe a rare case of some odd reaction, but I, you know, I haven't heard anything, but, you know, enlighten us, please.
Well, I think, yes. So area code 716-8652 if you want to call in off your computer. And we'll put you on, and you can talk with John Grant. I hear a athletic coach in Olathe, Kansas, which is near me,
sure,
has children. A very popular coach, African American coach with the a big public school district, died of COVID. He never had a shot.
Yeah.
Didn't get a shot, and he left these kids. And you know, the newspaper did cover it, not our local, but the county next door, you know, and it became sort of statewide news. I can't help but think people would start looking at this, you know, in their own lives. You know, my sweetheart was reading that news story to me last night, and I recalled to her, I told her, I said, well, you know, we got our shots in like April or May. My son and I, we had to get the two stage, and my wife waited for another month or so. And a county health department officer called me. Now, he called to basically double check. I don't know how they figured it out, but it didn't matter. Because he was trying to head count how many people got shots in the county, vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And I confirmed it. And I said, and I started bringing up all these older people who I knew in Nortonville that had died, and that I was reading all their obituaries each week. There was more and more of their, these are coffee gadflies. This is the mayor. The current mayor died, and the former mayor died, and the former mayor's wife died. This is a very, very small community, okay? And these are people who are, for lack of a better term, social gadflies. I mean, they drank coffee at the cafe every morning. They were regular people that would show up, and that was their life, you know.
Sure.
When you get older, that's what you do.
Yeah.
I bring this up. I was asked to the county health department. He says, well, I'm from Nortonville, Mike. I'm not going to give his name because the health care workers out here are being harassed.
Right.
He was getting harassed. But he says, I know who you are, and I know what they are. And we both laughed because I know you like to stir up trouble. I said, yeah, but, you know, some of those people dying were not my best friends at all, but I still didn't want to see him die, you know?
No.
And he says, I understand that. And I said, well, what about this And this is what I brought up with my wife, and I've said it before on this show on Tuesdays. And I said, I asked that county health guy if they were, if these people, because it didn't say in the newspaper that they died from COVID,
right,
or there were any numbers of, what are the numbers of people dying in Nortonville,
right,
from COVID-19? And he said, well, one, not everybody wants to get tests, or, you know, you could imagine that. They don't, we only test those that come in to want to be tested. And that's an 11-mile drive from,
right,
across county to north. And a lot of people aren't going to drive that far just to get tested. And I said, I understand. I said, but can't you test them after they're dead? And he said, what? Because he said, no, not really, unless the relatives allow it.
Right.
So
you
got people who are in denial about COVID-19.
Right. Even into death, they're in denial. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and they're no worse. Their relatives,
the
bereaved, the surviving relatives, are not allowing the test to be given to the corpse of their dead relatives to find out if COVID-19 killed these old people.
Right. Well, isn't that pretty amazing?
I asked my wife.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say. So I asked my wife. I said,
I'm
"What
sorry.
Do you do with these not?" I asked my wife where she's. This began. Remember, this began.
Right.
This was like 5 months ago. Okay.
Right.
And they're still
right.
dying out here, just not in such big numbers, or they're not printing as many obituaries.
Right.
But I asked my wife. I said, "Isn't there anything? You've got a degree in public health, a master's."
Right.
What the hell do you do when the public is,
right.
says, oh, it's not the plague, you know? She said,
right.
well, the only thing modern science will do, the only thing it has been able to do for the last 75 years is to test the sewers. And that will only give you a very rough approximation of how saturated the plague is, the epidemic among the people is. That's the only way. She said, it's very primitive. It's not accurate. And she said the knuckleheads would probably deny that,
right.
too. What do you do? What do you do
right.
when you have people dying for this, and their relatives don't even want to have their corpse tested?
Well, the relatives are such into the know-nothing blockhead kind of mentality that they would then deny it when it, you know, in other words, I don't want to know that my wife died of this disease because, you know, then it would be public that we're idiots, you know, and we died for nothing. And, of course, you know, talk about denial, they want to deny that, you know. So let's not, let's do like the 19th century know-nothings and just act ignorant and, you know, not even pursue why the person died. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. That is completely
old.
Dysfunctional in my view. I mean, it's inexcusable.
That's
and right. as you just mentioned, your wife works in, quote, public health. You know, and the idea of public health is, you know, the idea that this is a vast community and it has to cooperate in order to preserve public health. Well, there seems to be this idea floating around amongst the right wing that public health is communistic or socialistic or something, and that we need to be private and, you know, as I say, be know-nothings like in the 19th century. It's pretty crazy, and it's just another contributor to American decline. And you look at empires and how they decline, decadence, you look at the Romans and the perversity and things like that, and you know, a lot of decline is self-induced. It's because people are so goddamn arrogant that, you know, they want the powers, they want it to be the way it was in the past, make America great again, of course. And so they do very, very stupid things. And the interesting thing that I heard recently was Idaho, you know, the very red state of Idaho in the Northwest, which is often, you know, characterized as one of the more far-right states with militias and things, it has declared its hospital system to be operating under, which is essentially a wartime, war zone, what do they call it, triage system. You know, the idea in a war, you got all these casualties. Now, this guy, you know, he's still breathing and his heart's going, but, you know, we can do heroic measures on him, give him quarts and quarts of blood, but he's going to die anyway. So let's save the blood for somebody that we can save and, you know, put this guy in a corner and treat him well with hospice ideas, you know, to make his life comfortable, but just give him up. He's dead. For all practical purposes. Well, the Idaho hospital system is so overwhelmed in their ICUs with the COVID patients that they're instituting that policy. And, you know, as I say, this is a war zone policy. And it's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. All because the right and its arrogance for power has decided the way to get power is to do everything it can to undermine what the Biden administration wants to do so that it will be, in their view, a, quote, failed administration like they tried to do with Obama. You know, at some point it seems to me that really dysfunctional decline-inducing and contributing attitude is going to become more and more evident to people. And I can't imagine the population in this country is going to vote the Trump people back in order to put the people who are doing this in real power, and then God knows what they'll do. I just can't imagine that the American population is that stupid. But then I may be wrong, you know. And, you know, as I say, you know, we always joke, Hitler was elected, you know. And then look what happened. But, again, that's getting into Hitler analogies, which is often ill-advised, always ill-advised. So I don't want to go there.
Yeah, well... Donnie had another rally last Saturday, and this time when he got around to talking about vaccines, you know, if you recall, he got booed a couple of weeks ago when he brought up that he got his shot and he thought people and that he got booed. And so he's learned, and he brought, I guess, and brought up the booster, and mm-hmm. There wasn't anyone really jumping up and down about him getting the booster, you know. I mean, the guy, I don't think he has gotten it yet. But the point is he's not backing off one inch off of the election has been stolen. And I heard that the audit in Arizona, that they paid for, you know, came back with Biden still the winner.
Right. Well, that's the irony of all this, and the absurdity of all this that absolutely corrupt. I don't know what else to call it. Audit in what was it? The Ninja Warriors or something was doing it, they spent millions doing this, you know. And like once the final report came out, like I guess last week or this week, it's like, we don't want to publicize this stuff, but Biden did win, you know. And it's like,
Donnie speaks in Alabama this Saturday, and says we won. It's been proven. I mean, he did.
I know.
He said, we won. He said, we won. It was approved that I won. I mean,
right?
I just heard it. I heard it just last night.
He's made a career out of saying that black is white, et cetera, you know, good is bad and up is down and all this stuff.
There's people behind him clapping. It's just that
it's very strange. No, it's
strange.
To me, right next to the COVID politics are Walloping Red America, concentration of cases in right-leaning areas. And the story on the New York Times, the liberal New York Times, of course, on the left of it is murders spike at record rate across the U.S. Tied to the pandemic, surge seen in cities big and small, even as other crimes fell. So the murder rate has zoomed up in 2020 during the pandemic. The murder rate has just skyrocketed. It still has, you know, the total number of murders isn't anywhere near what it was like in the 90s. Like in New York, it was outrageous. They had, you know, I think they had 1,500 murders in the city of New York, I guess, that in 1990. Well, this year it was only like 335. I don't know exact numbers in there in the story somewhere. So it's not, the numbers are nothing like in the past, but given what they were in like 2018 and 19, you know, the precipitous rise in 2020 was unheard of since records have begun in like the early 1960s. So the murder rate has shot up. Now, why is that? People say because of tensions of the pandemic, and here it says, and a sharp increase in gun purchases. It's a perfect storm, says Chief Harold Medina of the Albuquerque Police Department. In other words, all of this garbage that we're talking about and the fact that we're post-truth period in time and, you know, lies can be, you know, are powerful. People are seeking power, and they'll say anything to get it, bullshit and lie their way into it. And the people are buying this stuff. And then the guns come out. There's so goddamn many guns. And, of course, the gun industry is mushroomed because over the decades. And, you know, they're delighted to sell more and more and more guns. Well, those guns, apparently the newer ones that are purchased, have not reached the illegal stage like in the inner cities where they, you know, it takes a while before gun purchases evolve into a quantity of illegal guns that are then distributed through the inner cities. And you know, and poor black people, for instance, can shoot each other in Chicago readily and things like that. You know, it's, and apparently, according to this, one of the things that they found is that this quote here, perceived personal insults were among the top motivators of homicide. In other words, I'm finding it in my life that people are, like, I just had a friend of mine who called, he didn't like something I wrote, and so he called me up at like 12:30 at night, and I get this call, said, "You son of a bitch, I'm going to come over and put my fist through your face." I said, "Who? What?
No,
what?"
God.
And I called him back and I said, "Did you just threaten me?" And then he emails, he says, "I never want to talk to you again ever. Goodbye." I'm going like, what the fuck is going on here, you know? I wrote something I guess he didn't like. I wish he'd tell me why he didn't like it. It seemed reasonable to me.
Right.
So people are flipping out. And, you know, this is just one example in my life. You know, he didn't threaten to kill me. He just wanted to put his fist through my face. You know, that's not homicide. messing up my face, you know.
Yeah, it turns a fucker in, but that's okay. That was Doc.
Well, hey, up until that moment, I thought he was a very good friend of mine, you know. It's like,
I used to have to do that. I used to have to do that. as a private detective, here's the right. Here's the instruction. You have to keep a tape recorder by your phone.
Sure.
You need to record it, and then you need to hit. And then after the call is placed, it's been a long time. I think you hit *57, and that notifies the phone company to put a computer flag on that phone number for your billing, so you'll know that person, that time, at that date, said this on your tape recording, and then you can.
Right.
Then,
well, I think it was an idle threat.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
And then you must file a police report, call the police, give them the evidence of the phone number, the date, the time, their tape recording of the threat. It doesn't have to be a direct threat on your life, just what you feel threatened. And then, most importantly, after you report that to the police, as you report it to the police, once the officer's finished, ask for the incident number. I had to do this for abortion doctors, nurses, myself.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I had to teach this. I even have a little instruction sheet I had used to hand out to my clients, you know, wives going through divorce, messy divorces. I used to have to do this over and over. I got sick of doing it, but that's for the best of my memory. That's what you should do when you get.
I actually did that once about 10 years ago. We were involved out in the town here, Westchester, against these motorcycle gangs about the Iraq War, and they asked Vets for Peace to come out and stand up to these clowns. And we did, you know, and nose to nose a couple times, you know. And they had a friend, I guess, some gun nut out in Pittsburgh area. Well, they gave him my name. I somehow got my email. And so I got this, you know, threatening my life. We're going to, you know, and a guy in a video shooting a peace sign with a shotgun. He's got his 12-year-old son shooting. We're going to come and get you, you son of a bitch, you know. And so I told my local police department about it. You know, I had the example. And they were reluctant. They said, well, come on, you know. And I said, bullshit.
Yep.
Don't give me any shit. You're my police department. I want something done. And so I insisted, you know, and, you know, it was a long, long story. I won't bore you with it. And they cited some bullshit lies about me. And I said, that is crap, and I'll tell you why. And here's the deal. You know, I want you to do so. And so they eventually, I went to the chief, you know, and a woman, and she got him to do it. And they claim they got the state police to drive up to this guy's house and threaten him. Now, they say they did that. I don't know if they did that in Pittsburgh. But, you know, it was an uphill battle getting the police to, you know, if I'd threatened some cop, you know, I'd be in jail now, you know, immediately. You know what I mean? I understand what you're saying. I accept it, yeah.
That's why I gave out this simple. Well, the thing is, you probably didn't provide the phone number or actual tape recording of the voice. I had the
video and the email, and it was evident.
Oh, it was
evident.
Email.
Huh? threaten somebody on an email, you know. It's like, Christ. You know.
Well, if that's dumb enough that they send you an email, that's great.
Right.
That's all right
there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I had a Republican lawyer tell me, you know, that's against the law. I was doing in front of the election. I was one of the people that stand out by the election when there was this Republican guy, a lawyer, and I was just talking to him, told him about it, and he says, absolutely, you know, go to the cops.
Yeah.
You know, they can't do that. That's illegal. I understand what you're saying, and but in these crazy times, you know, who knows, you know?
Yeah, and that was back in the early 90s when a lot of people didn't email their death threats or their threats over email with a video. I had to do that because it was time and time again the police didn't take it serious. And that's why I just said I had to train these nurses and doctors to do that, and these women who were being harassed by usually their exes, you know. So it's a mess to get the police to because a lot of these times these things don't come out, but they are signals of usually if something bad happens, the signals were there.
Right, exactly. So just put them on record, get them on record,
So these violent crimes are coming up, out here. Oh, and wait a minute, before we go back to the red state, blue state bullshit.
Sure.
Your lieutenant governor was on national news last week. Well, what's his name? He's a real cool
Fetterman.
Guy. What's his name?
Fetterman. What is it, John
Fetterman?
Yes. Yeah, he looks like he just stepped off a giant Harley hog, and he looks like a motorcycle gang member,
But he was on national news yesterday or last week.
Right. He's running for Senate.
Well, speak highly of him, folks out there in Pennsylvania, because the guy's really
I like him.
He was on national cable news, and he was it must have been good because I picked it up two or three times on YouTube from two or three different news networks. He was talking about the road show in Arizona. Evidently, you've got some people in Pennsylvania that are they're wanting to do a recount, an audit.
Oh, absolutely. They've been in the news for several weeks or a month or so. After they got the bug out in Arizona, there was some clown state rep who was going to take it on. And I guess, they found some money to do it. And I don't know if there's proceeding, but, it's a clown show, totally. And especially after the Arizona one, which was highly publicized, came out saying, oh, by the way, Biden did win, And, you go like, what the fuck? What are you spending all this money for? For nothing, And it's just underlines and emphasizes what a goddamn clown show it is. but again, about power and nothing. And the thing that has motivated me as a writer for the last probably 15 years has been this struggle, which I call between truth and power. The idea that power trumps, I guess pun intended, power trumps truth in the short run, runs over it like a tank. Yet truth very often prevails in the long run, but not always. And that struggle is what I write about and think about. And we're seeing it in spades now. The Republicans are only interested in power, and they will get it any way they can. And, that's something new, I think, in American politics. Obviously, we've had, corruption and violence in the past, but I've never seen anything like this in my 74 years. So it's, it's a curse and a blessing to live in interesting times, which we are.
Well, Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor, what's his name, Fetterman?
John Fetterman, yes.
Fetterman with a T, Fetterman.
Yes, two T's, Fetterman, yeah.
Two T's.
Big, tall bruiser of a guy, with a goatee. As I say, it looks like he just rode in a Harley hog,
Well, he had an interesting angle on this voter audit roadshow.
Right.
He said people may not realize this, but they're part of the audit process is that they buy or court order the voter rolls, which include your name, your current address, your voting history, off the public. He said it's the biggest case. This is what his unique angle. Lieutenant Governor Fetterman said. He said it's a scam. It's a huge identity theft. It's a huge identity theft scam.
That's been the issue here in Pennsylvania for a couple of weeks now. And he's rightfully flogging that. You wonder, what the clown show in Arizona was all about. You know, all these records that they got. And then, of course, they come to the conclusion, as I always say, uh-oh, Biden won, you know. But that doesn't seem to matter to them. You know, that's why they sort of throw it, oh, okay, he won. But they have all of this data and information, and you wonder, what the hell are they going to do with it, given their corruption and their nefarious motivations and all of this stuff? Fetterman's concerned about, what are they getting all this data and information about me and other people like me, and what are they going to do with it? Well, I personally don't trust them as far as I could throw them, so I don't know. And so it's good that he's flogging it, even on, you know, on a national basis he's getting out there, because it's the big issue here. What are they going to do? Obviously, they didn't come to the answer that they wanted, but they, in the process, they accumulate all of this information on the electorate, and what are they going to do with that? You know, I mean, I couldn't even imagine what they might do with it. They're so sort of corrupt and insidious in their thinking. I don't know what they could possibly do, but, you know, I trust them enough to know that whatever they're going to do, it isn't good. You know, and
I mean,
so here we are.
I don't know.
You know?
People were saying your date of birth is on there, and
it's meta. I think they call it metadata. Metadata. It tells you everything except, in my case, I'll use me as a personal example. It tells everything about me except who I voted for. And you know, they can
not
take.
I don't think that's in Kansas.
I don't know whether it's come to you guys or not.
I think it differs from state to state. Bear in mind, they're doing that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
They're going after Michigan and Wisconsin also, as well as Pennsylvania.
Sure. Sure.
And I know, and from my campaign experience in the that you can buy these things on CD. They're not cheap. You can buy from the county. Now, you might be able to get the whole state. It probably is a lot more money to buy that. But I don't think they have the social security number and date of birth. They have your voting history.
Right. I just don't know the details of this. And all I know is I don't trust them at all. And they've shown they don't deserve our trust. Because, again, all they're about is power, obtaining power, and they could give a rat's ass how they do it. They could give a rat's ass the damage that it does to the country and how it contributes to ongoing decline that's happening just historically. They're only exacerbating those things by creating this polarized situation and this climate of do everything we can to make Biden a doddering failure. And who cares if, you know, the hospitals are full of COVID patients and it's a triage system and people are, you know, sent home to die rather than go into the hospital and things like that. And then, as you suggested, once they die, you know, we don't want to do an autopsy or a test to find out why they died, because that would damn us for, you know, basically killing them. I don't know. It's a new phenomenon.
Yeah, you do.
Of course, I do.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a hats off from Kansas to Lieutenant Governor Fetterman out of Pennsylvania, because I thought that was a clever.
Good.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. It is ID theft, you know, and I don't know, out here where I live, you get 100, probably 1,000 of these LifeLock identity theft commercial. The commercials are endless.
Oh, right.
And and everything's notoriously Republican out here. So I thought he was giving him a good punch in the balls. It's like, you're worried about identity theft, but look what you're doing.
Right.
You're letting them.
You're contributing to it. Well, you know, with the NSA revelations and Snowden, et cetera, and of course, you know, we wanted to crucify those guys for revealing these little details. You know, the NSA was secretly spying on us. You know, basically, in the age, in the digital age of iPhones and social media and all of that stuff and all, you know, records of every phone call, where you called from, you know, and the GPS, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. You know, in the digital world that we've created that is only zooming and zooming up to more and more terrifying realities, the fact is our identities are dog shit at this moment.
We are at
the mercy of forces and powers that most of us don't have a clue about. I certainly don't. You know, I was just down the shore, and there was a woman friend of mine who's telling me all about how she's playing the Bitcoin game, you know, and she's buying Bitcoin, and I'm going, Bitcoin? And digital, you know, digital money, money that is not nationalized, that is not, you know, like a national currency. You know, Bitcoin is a digital application of money exchange. That's another nail in the coffin of the nation state, you know, which was created in 1648, I think, in the Treaty of Westphalia after the 30 Years' War, or the 100 Years' War, one of those goddamn long wars.
right.
And, you know, the nation state was created. Well, the nation state is on the ropes, baby. You know, it's on life support, you know, and it may not be able to survive because there's so many people dying of COVID. I don't know. I'm joking. But, you know, the nation state is, you know, it's going bye-bye, you know, and Bitcoin, which I'm now reading about, thanks to my friend's interest. I found a book at the thrift shop, a 2018 book on it. And, yeah, the Bitcoin phenomenon is happening. You know, and so eventually, if you project ahead, apparently Bitcoin is successful in establishing a digital currency that's not attached to any national entity at all, that just flows in a digital traffic throughout the world. You know, this is where we're going.
Well, it's another excuse,
you know,
not to pay taxes. It's just another way to avoid taxes.
Well, again, that contributes to feelings like not paying taxes, which again undermines the nation state. And of course the nation state has proved itself to be outrageously corrupt, especially the United States, having spent multi-trillions of dollars on wars that were not necessary, like Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. Could have used domestically and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You'll complain about when Bitcoin doesn't pay for your sewer. The sewer's backing up in the next big storm. I'll tell you that. People go, I paid my taxes in Bitcoin. Well, we don't accept Bitcoin down at the county office. So your sewer's back up. Fuck you. All right, now here, let's go on. Now,
here you go.
Let's get back to the reality and avoid restructuring the tax code. You know, I want to do that, but that's not good.
That's another issue.
Is there anything in the New York Times? Is there anything in the New York Times about one of the most famous Kansans in the world, in the history of the world, to work for Donald Trump? No, not Governor Sam Brown, former Governor Sam Brownback. No,
right.
Not him. And no, not Chucky Charles Koch, the Wichita billionaire. No, not him. No.
Uh-huh.
The Kansan named Mike Pompeo as CIA director, wanting to kill Julian Assange. wanting to kill Julian Assange.
Is this something he said recently, or did he say this earlier?
According to Yahoo News, mm-hmm. appropriately, Yahoo.
It's not in the News. Times. I haven't seen that in the Times.
Ah, well, it's a hot scoop. Then the Times got scooped because mm-hmm. it's in the news. It's in the news.
Okay.
Yahoo has got sources that confirm that there were people working for Trump who are spilling the beans, saying that Pompeo was like trying to do. He was obsessed with kidnapping Julian Assange, and there was discussions to rendition him and then kill him.
Yeah.
So
I would not doubt it from somebody like that. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, Pompeo was a vile individual, in my view. Yeah.
He's not gone.
No, he's not certainly gone. Not gone at all. You know. Now, what was it I saw recently? He had sucked it up, and he was meeting with some nefarious individual in some state that we all condemn. What was that? He was in bed with some. He was, he looked like the cat who'd just eaten you know what, as he was dealing with these people. Again, I should get my information straight. I forget where it was.
Oh, it's probably one of those. It's probably one of those eye stand, like Brown Bacchus stand. It was one of those eye stand companies.
Yeah, it was one of the standard demons of the world, and he was. And he was there in bed with them, grinning, as I say, like the cat who had eaten you know what. And it was like, oh, there he is, big boy Pompeo, and chunky Pompeo. You know, there he is.
The guy
who went to West Point, and then I think he served for 10 minutes or what he had to do, and then he got out. You know, he got the free education, the free militaristic education. Then he got out and he played the power game in politics instead of in the military. And not a good guy, at least in my book.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, it's in The Guardian, The Verge, and Yahoo News. Mm-hmm. Kidnapping, assassination, and a London shootout is inside the secret war of the CIA secret war on Julian Assange. And it was during Pompeo. They requested options.
Well, I would not put this past them at all. You know, I mean, absolutely. You know, the CIA is capable of this kind of thing. The only trouble is Julian Assange is a very high-profile individual. So if they kidnap him and kill him, it's hard to cover that up because he's such a public, entity. The idea of being public does prevent murders. I learned that in El Salvador, the contact with El Salvador, with Bishop Medardo Gomez, who I went over to his house and had beer and pupusas. And the bishop wanted to tell us gringos that he had just been picked up by a death squad. And they put him in the car, and they beat him up and threatened him and ran him around the city for a while, and they booted him out, you son of a bitch, don't ever say a word again, you know. And so he was terrified, of course, and he calculated that the worst thing that he could do was remain silent, that what he did is he blared out and, became very, very public about this. In fact, that's why he invited us gringos over for beer and pupusas, so he could, make it further public. That saved him. That saved him, made him public. They couldn't kill him because he was so public. If they'd actually silenced him and he'd been silent, then they could have killed him. And that was a very important lesson for me. Make a lot of noise, come out like Daffy Duck sputtering, it's like, yeah. Anyway.
Well, here's I couldn't get it up because New York Times is paywalled because they must know it's from Kansas. I'm looking for candy.
Right.
But here is an April 13th, 2017 article in the New York Times headline, and it's just under a Google search, Pompeo Assange. And Mike Pompeo, once a WikiLeaks fan, attacks it as a hostile agent of a intelligence service.
Sure.
So he was once a WikiLeaks fan, but when he got when Donnie gave him the directorship of the CIA, he attacks it, and now it's come out that they not only is he attacking it as a hostile intelligent non-state intelligence service, but he was working on trying to figure out a way to kidnap him and kill him. Now it's legal.
Well, I mean, this is what authoritarians do once they get power. I mean, these characters want power, and that's what they want to do. They want the right to kill people who are saying or doing things they don't like. I mean, that's what authoritarian does. Look at Vladimir Putin and all these guys that suddenly appeared dead or almost dead, and they failed a couple times, and I know nothing about this. I know nothing, Oh, really? You don't? I'm surprised. I guess I'm not surprised you don't know anything, Vlad. You and your poker face. Of course you don't know.
I got a new job. It's like Donnie was praising WikiLeaks when he was in 2016 campaign.
Well, they were using WikiLeaks was actually feeding them stuff, at the same time, I mean, they'll kill him. They'll kill the guy for revealing something they don't want him to reveal. But they're actually use him if they can reveal something against the other guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the corrupt world we live in. I don't know what there's nothing I can do about it. I don't think ideology is the problem.
That's so American of you. That's
I don't think
American
ideology is our
that.
Problem anymore. Corruption is the problem.
Well, Donnie liked WikiLeaks. Then he made Mike Pompeo, right. Director of the CIA, and then Mike gets mad and declares Assange plots to kill him. Behind the scenes.
So is Pompeo a man of religion? Does he follow Jesus?
He puts on as good an act as Mike Pence, but he's not near as sincere as former Governor Sam Brownback.
He's not on the Brownback level of Jesus adherence, but. You wonder, who would Jesus kill? Would Jesus go along with killing Assange? I don't know. Not the Jesus that I have been aware of, but... he was a nice guy.
Well,
stands
back at his 20 acres or 40 acres down in the South County here, my county, and Pompeo is still... Other than when he comes out back to Wichita to get money, he's still in Washington, D.C. Mike Pence is sort of in nomad's land, I guess. I haven't heard much of him.
Well, we just heard that Dan Quayle, the great Dan Quayle, was the one who read Pence the Riot Act. Of course, they're both from the Republican machine in Indiana. And Dan Quayle told him, Mike, what are you saying? Of course you have to go along as the vice president ruling on this day of January 6th. So Mike Pence was thinking maybe I could go along and make Trump the president again. And Dan Quayle, goddamn Dan Quayle, comes up and tells Mike, wake up. The Constitution is there. It still exists. You can't do this. You don't have the power to do this. Oh, really? And he didn't. He then did the right thing. Here we go.
Yeah, that's
John Grant. All right, Mike.